Okay. That's good for John. The regular January monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a quorum, all members present and accounted for, so I'll call this meeting to order. We'll have a quick moment of silence. And let's rise for the pledge to the flag, please. Okay, welcome everybody. We will begin with if there's any brief committee member announcements. John Irwin, welcome back and thank you. Do you have an announcement or anything? Walter?
Yes, just briefly, I'd like to say I was watching the vigil in Montecito the other night and thinking how thankful I feel to be part of this community, and those folks are going through a tremendous strain, and recognizing also that our businesses now are effectively, you know, that we have the cutoff at Highway 1, the cutoff at Highway 101. Hopefully that won't be very long, but it's more important than ever to support our local businesses because, you know, we're not seeing as many visitors. I know that the Bird Festival was affected by cancellations from folks in Southern California and so forth. So I just kind of urge everyone to be mindful of the fact that our local businesses are in need of our support. Secondly, with respect to kind of community involvement, on February 3rd, Saturday, February 3rd, a group of volunteers will be getting together to tidy up the roundabout, the Morro Bay Boulevard roundabout. At this time of year, the seasonal weed load gets pretty heavy, and it's better to get to it right now than it is to get to it in March and April. So we'd invite people to come out. We have enough gloves and tools and water and safety vests. It's a family-friendly activity. We can put families with children in places where they won't be in harm's way up there at the roundabout, but it's one of those tasks that just requires a lot of people to get it done. So Saturday, February 3rd, from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m., your participation would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you, Walter, for that. Thank you for what you're doing. All right, no further announcements from CFAC members. Thank you. I will now open this up to public comment for any item not on the agenda or those items for which you cannot stay. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, close public comment. Thank you. And that brings us to item A1, the consent calendar. That would be the approval minutes of our last meeting on November 28th, 2017. Members, are there any corrections, updates? I presume everybody has reviewed them. They looked accurate to me. Okay, can I have a motion then to approve the minutes as submitted for the November 28th meeting?
I'll move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Dawn, thank you, Dawn. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Second. Thank you, Dave. So moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So do we have that in the notes? Thank you. All right. So that brings us to item B1, a brief finance department update. This would be on the audit and then also the CAFR, which we discussed last time. Ms. Jennifer Calloway will give us an update on that. Go ahead, Jennifer, please.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. First, I wanted to introduce Monique. Monique is one of our account clerk threes. I think she's been here before taking notes, but we talked about bringing various members of the finance team here so you can meet them and the community can get to know them. So Monique's joining us today. She's doing business license and TOT and used to cover the water desk as well.
So. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last thing.
She used to do the water, the utility, sewer, water and sewer desks. Now she's doing business license and TOT.
Okay, welcome, Monique. Thank you.
As far as the finance update, I have audit listed as a number one. We're still in the world of audit, unfortunately. The auditors were here in November. One of the things they found while they were on site was some accruals that staff had actually caught and thought that they had fixed, but they didn't realize that you had to change the batch number as well as the when you go in, you couldn't just reassign it. You had to get the batch numbers to match as well. So thought they had it fixed, and unfortunately we did not. That stimulated the auditors to require us to go back through the entire July through December period, I think is what they requested, and see if there are any other accruals that we missed. So we literally were going through transaction by transaction and pulling out and making sure we had captured all the accruals. So that's kind of been the holdup with audit at this point. There was a question that came in about the CAFR. That, of course, influences CAFR. Our extension deadline for CSMFO is January 31st. We have yet to get draft financial statements. We just did some of the final accrual entries on Friday. We're working on the GASB entries right now for OPEB, but I can't guarantee we're going to get the CAFR in at this point. So just an FYI on that. We also have had the Glenn Burnett auditors on site. They do the Morro Bay CUCIS, the joint sewer project that's existing right now. They were here a week and a half ago, I believe. And are wrapping up their testing. We have an extension for the transit audit through March 31st, and I understand that's because it kind of feeds off the other audits, and then we have a person out that's key for that on workers' comp, or on disability, I believe. And then we had entertained guests from the state controller's office since our last meeting, got notice that the gas tax auditors were coming to do a gas tax audit. So they audited fiscal year 15-16. They're coming on the 23rd for an exit conference, so I'll have more to update you on that in our February meeting.
Okay, so just a couple questions and before we go on to the next. When you say the gas tax audit, you're talking about the fuel tax, not the new additional state?
Correct. The annual, there's
the one that generates about $240,000 a year. Correct. Okay, so just to clarify that. And do you anticipate any significant changes as a result of going back through this audit or some of the auditor's questions on the accruals and that?
I believe it was either three or four large transactions, one of which is in the Measure Q, the 53,000 is what their sample determined. Oh. I think the total ended up being about 150 or 180,000 between those four transactions. So they were large transactions. When staff went back through and pulled all of the transactions to make sure there was nothing else, there was an additional $36,000, so the auditors have captured most of it, and they didn't ask us to go back and accrue that $36,000. That was a small enough amount that they felt we didn't need to do that.
So we'd say so far so good, and yeah, nothing. Okay.
I expect there'll be an audit finding about accruals in year end, and we've been working with the staff that does the AP on what they need to look for and training on that.
And hopefully that audit finding will be more closely related to the process as opposed to the actual transactions.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Any thoughts or questions on what Ms. Calloway has reported right now? Anybody? Go ahead, John.
Jennifer, I'm not familiar with any kind of review by the California State Municipal Finance Officers, but I'm familiar with the GFOA one, the Government Finance Officers Association. I think pretty sure that when the auditor was here last year for the fiscal 15-16 audit presentation, he said that it had been submitted for the Certificate of Excellence in Financial Reporting, and I've never gotten an answer if it had been or not. But if it hadn't been, then actually it might work out for your benefit, because I know GFOA has a policy that the first time it gets submitted, they kind of don't pay attention to the deadlines. So if you did miss their deadline for the 17 audit, which it sounds like probably you did, they probably would still accept it once it's finished.
I can reach out to GFOA and ask. When we were getting towards the end of December and still had a lot of unresolved things going on with audit, I was hesitant to even request a deadline from CSMFO, an extension, just not comfortable that we would meet it. And, you know, I feel like you get to ask one or two times for those, and I didn't want to extend that if I didn't think we would meet those. Decided to do it, and I think I submitted it pretty much the last day. Heard back that they would extend it. You can submit for the CAFR award to one or the other. CSMFO will not accept your submittal if you've applied for GFOA. I picked CSMFO because I thought it might be a good first step for us to go through. I was under the impression we submitted for GFOA before, but I understand we did not, that they compiled it as an exercise to go through, but as I had not seen the award either. So I asked about that, and they said it actually didn't get put in, submitted. So I don't know if that clarifies anything or not, but... If there's no other questions, I thought I don't have it listed here, but we could talk about the financial reporting that was discussed at the council meeting on the 9th, just to update the committee a little bit on that, in case you didn't get a chance to see it. There had been some feedback from the community that we weren't complying with the government code sections on monthly financial reporting, which in fact we were not. So in the course of developing a recommendation on how we can comply with that, we ended up with this kind of three-pronged approach to it. One of them being that we'll be posting online the cross-fund reports that are the, it's a monthly report that we use to reconcile our bank accounts to. And once we're reconciled, we'll post that on our website, and that gives the each fund beginning balance, the ins and outs, and the ending balance. And from a compliance perspective, I believe that meets the government code section. In addition, we're going to be posting biweekly our AP check run listings, and that's a listing of all the AP check runs that go out every 2 weeks. It does not capture anything that's transmitted electronically. So, for example, our PERS payments are sent through EFT. It won't hit that. You won't see payroll on that, but it will do everything that we physically process a check for. The second approach to this was developing the quarterly financial reviews for all the city's funds. To be frank, I didn't think we would have the ability to pull that together for the first January meeting, but it's something we need to do anyway, so we did, and wanted to get feedback on the format. So that was incorporated and discussed at the meeting. First quarter, as you know, is not all that indicative of how we're going to end the year, but it's a good kind of litmus test for, you know, 3 months. And at this point, we didn't have any recommendations for budget adjustments. Everything for the general fund seems to be on track, with the exception that we noted business license is budgeted high, and we do expect to come back at mid-year with an adjustment for that. But other than that, revenues and expenditures in the general fund seem to be fine. And then the last piece of that is the City Council approved purchasing of a OpenGov, which is a transparency portal. We've gotten the contract from them. It's being reviewed by the attorneys, and then we'll get going on kind of doing that data dump, and they'll get it formatted on their end, and the community council and staff will be able to go on our website and sort by, you know, fund, expenditure, revenue categories, and have access to the information. So since none of that actually came to the committee prior to going to council, I just wanted to give you a brief update on that action.
So thank you for that. I had sent that agenda item out from last week's City Council to all our members here so they could review it and see if they had any comments. So I guess we'll open it up. For those of you that did have the opportunity, that would be the reports, the description, the cross-fund report, the AP listing. Do you have any comments, or do you think this is something that is a step in the right direction? Helpful to citizens. I'll open it up. Go ahead, Dawn.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. This is the biggest news since I've been sitting on this committee in terms of financial transparency, and I think it's fantastic, and appreciate the work that you've done to have a multifaceted approach and to look for software that could be implemented and just kind of clarify the process for the public. So thank you for that work.
Thanks, Dawn. Dave, any comments?
very impressive. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, I think it's a great, great start. A couple of things that I had mentioned that I thought it'd be a good idea if you did a quarterly treasurer's report of investment. You said you'd plan on start doing that on the 23rd. That's really important. And then on the disbursement list, if there's any way you can work in a description of what was purchased, that would really be helpful because the listing just had the vendor. There's no way to know what was actually bought, so that'd be very helpful. But I think it's a great, great step you've taken.
Walter or John? And I reviewed it all as well, and some of the same comments John had from another citizen on the identifying things on the AP ledger. My comment on that is if you can do it where it's an automatic feed and nobody's not manually going in, and some of them obviously like the tree companies and that, you can figure out what they are. But I think it's a good start because even though it's not a cumulative necessarily, it's a point in time snapshot, it does show where the money is going, and it just looking at some of those gives you a very good idea of what's happening. I thought the OpenGov reports, the summary that was in the council packet from last week, the 9th, was excellent, and then you've applied that same format, which means it'll be easier for everybody to understand for the Measure Q in this packet, which we'll get to soon. But I don't have any further comments. I think it's an excellent step in the right direction. I've seen the demo of the OpenGov. I've seen it on some other city websites. You can get as little or as much information if you're interested. So it's definitely, you can see what some of our best-in-class cities are that are using that. So thank you for that.
I have one quick question.
Go far away.
Yeah, just I noticed on there that you're not going to do like the automatic transfer of data. Staff is going to upload that Excel sheet or upload that data, and I just had a question around time cost savings. I know you explained in the report you feel like the time is worth it to do that, but I know city staff has been pressed for time and overworked, it sounds like, over the past few meetings.
Yeah, thank you. I think you're right that, you know, we do have a time issue. I think there's a lot of value, at least initially for the first few months, in going through the process of downloading it, double-checking it, and the review process to do that. I think it's a great learning tool for myself and for any of the staff that are helping to do that. I don't doubt that in the future we would try to purchase the integration at some point. I just don't want to start out doing it that way. But it will come down to being a time saver. If it proves to be a useful tool for everybody, like we hope it is, that would make it more automatic, and we could do it more regularly as well.
Okay. Any public comment on item B1? Seeing none, close public comment. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to, before we get, leave this item.
Sure.
In regards to the audit committee that I had mentioned, you provided that language that GFOA offers, and I think that's really an important item. I think the key to what they're recommending is that the committee be an ad hoc committee that is constituted of less than a quorum of the city council, so that you could actually meet with the auditors in a private setting. And I think that's really an important, even though you're really going for transparency, there's just something magical that happens when the auditors can speak frankly, and that doesn't happen in a city council meeting. And I think it'd be something that really would be worth pursuing.
I've had audit committees. Well, in Los Gatos, we had a specific audit committee that was established for the sole purpose of reviewing the annual financial report, and that was a subcommittee of council, two members, and we had our auditor come in and meet with them and have a conversation with them. One of the challenges I can see here is our auditors are not local, so it would be another trip up for them. Not that that should be a reason not to, but if they can just drive down the street, it's not as big of a deal for them to come twice. Our auditors are from down south somewhere, so it would be an extra expense to have them come up. I think if the committee is interested in exploring it for that purpose, I think that's manageable. If anything beyond that at this point, I would say I'm not sure we can support another committee on the staff level. It right now. When I read that question, I was like, oh my goodness, another committee to prepare for, to be honest. But it's not to say in the future that we can. If you're just looking at for that one function, though, then that's probably not as big of a deal.
Thank you, Jennifer, and that may be something to think about in the future. I also noticed in that description that it's very important that it's staff with people very knowledgeable on accounting and finance, so sometimes that can be a challenge, but this is something we can shoot for, certainly, in the future. So anything else on item B1? All right, I'll close that item, and we will go on to item B2. That is, we have a staff report on the first quarter of this current fiscal year transactions, unaudited for the Measure Q revenue and transactions. So that's included in your agenda packet and also as attachment A. So do you have any other comments to make on that, Jennifer? The report looked very complete. I don't know if you want to go over it quickly or see if we have any questions and comments here.
Yeah, I'll just give a few brief comments. I would be interested in feedback on the format. I'm trying to get some consistency here so that, you know, all of the departments and committees and council know what they're looking at, and it's across the board. The exception is probably going to be the wharf project, because that's just a different, you know, animal that we're dealing with. So I'd be interested in the feedback if this works for the Measure Q piece. The enterprise funds would likely be set up similar to that. I have not done those yet. So, and then also we did add the GLO account numbers to help you trace back to the accumulated transactions report. I know that was an issue during the last discussion. So if that's helpful or not. And as we talked about, the first quarter isn't all that indicative. It's really just kind of that litmus test. We're comparing to prior first quarter results to see if we're about in line and in sync where we should be. Based on what we're seeing, we are. There were several questions that came in. I sent out the answers this morning with some detail. If you would like to go through each of those individually, we can, or if there's specific questions, that's up to the committee. Not sure if everybody had a chance to review those or not.
So let's start with the format. I like the attachment A. I like the reference to the general ledger, the transaction listing. I believe that's very helpful because sometimes the way it comes out of the system and the way it subtotals, it appears like there's two lines for many of the items, so it can be a little confusing. So I thought that was very good. Your attachment A was good, and I thought the explanation was also very good, because it kind of addresses any anomalies or, unfortunately, as in all budgets, the expenditure and revenue is not a straight line 25% first quarter. So, and even when it is, that doesn't necessarily mean things are on track. That could be an anomaly as well. So. So any questions up here, any comments on any of the Measure Q, or we'll go through some of the questions that were submitted by our committee as well. So everybody was okay with that and the format, and it makes sense?
The format was fine with me. I mean, it's pretty easy to follow. I'd like to go back to the discussion we had last meeting, though, which I guess was November. I'm learning more and more about our pipes in the street. Measure Q was basically, I'm not sure if roads were a safety issue per se, but I think at that point I pointed out that storm drains were a very specific item that was mentioned in the various ballot measures and documentation, and was pointed out somewhere that don't be surprised that those documents didn't align with each other, that he said different things, which is okay. And then to some extent, you know, we can kind of do what we want, was also said, I think. But what I'm coming to is on our pipes. Pipes, storm drains were clearly mentioned. Sewer drains were not. Safety is mentioned. And I think that Mr. Leivig said something about there is a plan being developed. Right now, I'd like to, where I'm going is, where is or is there a plan to address and prioritize fixes that we need for sewer and storm drains, and or is there a study that could be funded to do that? And anyway, I mean, I think when we have sewers leaking into some drinking water, purportedly, that's a pretty serious safety issue that I don't think is being covered. And I sort of, it was said, I believe, that there is some master plan for addressing, and again, the term used last time was storm drains, not sewer drains. So I don't know if maybe it was said sewer drains, but is there something that's addressing the safety issue of the storm drain leakage and sewer drains? Because we're spending a lot of money in the sewer project because there's leaks that can't be fixed overnight.
So I believe that reference was to the one water master plan that Mr. Leivig said last time. And John, did you have something to add on that? Because you're on another committee. Yeah. Please.
Yes, I also sit on the PWAB, or the Public Works Advisory Board, and they were contract issued last fall for the one water, which is going to deal with water supply, sewer supply, storm drainage, and water distribution. So it's a comprehensive thing. They're putting together where they're putting together everything in one spot, so you can see what's going on and see if there's any way that they can save money by using the using other things.
So that contract's been let out, right? That
was the $700,000 one. I think they were expecting the preliminary report around May.
Okay.
So are you saying if they're studying this now, the implication of that is that it doesn't exist? And
what I heard is maybe some of it doesn't exist. The pieces of it are spread around and
outdated.
It's not really outdated from what I understand. It's just there are some outdated pieces of it, but some of it's up to date. Some of it it's just they're trying to get it organized so it's a little bit easier for people to understand what the public works and water supply, sewage treatment, and road maintenance is not in there, but it collects stormwater and then it gets into the plant.
Is there, to your knowledge, a date to have a plan? We've known about issues for 10 years. I presume we're fixing things if there's some gross break and leak. We go
what I've seen
after that, but this is costing us a lot of money on the sewer side because we haven't addressed this. And are you saying we don't have a plan now? We're now developing one?
They're putting it together in a way where it's easier to understand. There are pieces existing. There is a lot of information on the sewer that I've seen. But it's not. And what they have been doing with the sewer plans is they've been taking the low-hanging fruit as much as they can and dealing with that. I saw there was a report or a note. My wife said that they're going to do smoke testing. And what that does is it looks for essentially leaks in the sewers and illegal connections to the sewers. And if they reduce the quantity of water getting into the sewer, then treatment is cheaper. So they are doing pieces of it as it makes sense to do it. But, can they do it all? No, they can't afford to do it all at once, but they can, using that information, prioritize how they're going to do the work.
So I think as important as this is, this item is really B2, Measure Q. So, Jen, did you have any comment on that one water master plan, or is this something that should be brought to, Public Works or Council?
So I know there's an agenda item for one water, and I think it's at the next council meeting, which is the 23rd. I'm not sure it covers the exact scope that you're asking about. But I can get some more information from Rob and send out a response to the committee via email about what that agenda item will specifically be addressing. And then if there's a response to your question, Mr. Beckman, I can do that as well.
Okay. Is that fair enough, Bart?
Yeah, that's certainly fair. I just want to make sure it's very clear. We've known about this for 10 years. And I'm sure we, again, fix things if there's a massive problem and leak. But it seems reasonable, particularly when we now know that it's going to cost us a lot of money to over-design the sewer plant to accommodate the leakages. You got to get started at some point with developing a comprehensive priority list. I am obviously understanding that it's a priority list, and it may, in fact, take decades, as was noted. But we passed one decade without a comprehensive plan. So let's not go more decades, if possible. And where I was going was, could Measure Q funds even be used, because it's for safety? And I pointed out last time that really none of the funding seems to be used for that, even though it was specifically in the ballot measure. At least my reading of the ballot measure, it was there.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's good points, and it's noted. And certainly, yes, it could be used in the Measure Q funding, but then something else would have to be cut out. So go ahead, Dave.
Well, I've got a question about this discussion. Is this discussion related to Measure Q, or is this just a side discussion about the general condition of the system and whatnot? Because my understanding is Measure Q is to fund general fund activities, not water and sewer activities.
Correct.
That's Measure my understanding. So I just want to make sure people are clear. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can use Measure Q funds to, my understanding is you can use Measure Q funds for storm drain related issues, stormwater related issues, but not for water and wastewater related issues. Those are separate enterprise funds. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to pay for themselves and fund their own activities. So for anyone listening, I just wanted to make that point.
Good point.
It's rather loose, as we were told last time. It only specifically talks about storm drains. You're right. But it very specifically talks about safety. I think that, and I'm not saying you fund all of water treatment system with Measure Q funds. That's not where I'm coming from. But could it help a study? It clearly says safety. It clearly says storm drains, virtually none of which storm drains seems to be involved in any of our expenditures. Is it a leap to get into sewer system off of safety? I don't know. It seems to me like that's a safety issue.
No, there have been storm drain expenditures, however small, over the years, I can tell you, that I've sat on the Measure Q. And there are some, I believe, in this one, too. So I think we've noted it. And go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, so I think this is the governing resolution I have in front of me. And the language is that whereas a volunteer community group formed a campaign committee to promote the approval of the Measure Q, stressing to the public that the money would be used to replace the earthquake-damaged fire station, provide equipment for public safety, maintain streets, and repair storm drains. And then later on it goes down to improve the fire department, enhance public safety, street maintenance, and storm drain maintenance.
And that's exactly what it's being used for, so. Okay. Good enough for that. Okay, so on B2, John, you had some questions on the Measure Q.
Yeah, so, Jen, just looking at the financial report there, let's just start at the top and go down. So the revenues, you indicate that that's only 2 months worth of revenues for July and August, and that September is not included, and that September doesn't arrive until sometime in November.
That's correct.
Is that cycle just too late to get into a report at this point?
So this report is first quarter as of September 30th. I was really mostly concerned with being consistent and capturing the same number of months, if you look on page 9 in that chart, so I could see the trends. I wanted to make sure it was the same, whether it was 2 or 3 number of months, from fiscal year 13-14 to 17-18. It was those two, July and August is what had been, if you run it as of that date, that you can capture without going back and researching a lot. So that was why it was those 2 months. It takes out the accruals that were back to the prior year, and then you have those two that were received.
Okay, so then just looking at your general ledger, then basically July is going to have a zero entry for revenues every year?
if you run it as of July, you're going to actually show a negative balance because you'll show the accruals back to the prior year.
Okay. So then because of the delay, you're always going to be, in effect, a month behind.
Mm-hmm.
So then the fourth quarter is going to have 4 months' worth of revenues.
Month. Right, because you'll have your accrual back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. On the expenditures, on the labor specifically, you indicate that you actually can directly charge to the Measure Q fund through the payroll system, but that hasn't been done, right?
So it was done in the case of the public works position for the pavement plan, and you saw that employee's name on the accumulated transaction report. I think if you were to go back and look at the year-end submittal that we discussed last time, you would see that the SRR was charged directly. It was split 50-50 between General Fund and Measure Q, so you could see her 50% share.
Okay, but this report shows zero.
It does. So, this is a good example of why we need to do these reports, because it helps to highlight where some things, we went in and looked and her allocation wasn't set up to be charged to Measure I, so we'll have to go back and journal half of her SRO time for the first 6 months of the year, because that is all general, that's all Measure Q is funding the SRO position for, is my understanding.
And same with the relief firefighter?
Correct. And he was the same in last year's. When you look at 16-17, you could see that firefighter being charged through payroll, and we're not sure exactly what happened and how that got changed, but we'll fix it going forward and journal back what we need to.
Okay. And then as far as the school resource officer, not sure how you were supposed to set it up, but there was some discussion about that when the budget was approved by the council, because that position used to be funded half by the school district, mm-hmm. and now it's not. So the question, I think, was, well, does that position get funded all year long and half of it gets budgeted out of the general fund, or does it get budgeted for 6 months out of Measure Q, and then we'll see what happens? How is that? I mean, now we're in January. How does that position get funded for the rest of the year?
So the budget that was approved appears to show the full year of funding for the SRO out of Measure Q. I think it was $72,000 or something, if I can go back and pull it up. My understanding, though, is that the SRO position would be charged 50% to Measure Q for the first 6 months, and then if we were going to continue with that service, the general fund was going to pay the full 100% of that position going for the last 6 months. That Measure Q wouldn't be funding it if there wasn't going to be a share from the school. So if that's incorrect, that's what...
No, that's my understanding. That's exactly correct. And I think John's question is it 50% for 12 months out of two different funds, or is it 100% out of the one fund and 100% out of the other? And there was some question about how long this would be necessary because of staffing or some other anticipated whatever leaves. So that's where it was a little bit, hey, this isn't, changing or setting new, standards or agreement. It's just something we were doing in the interim to kind of not impact the program negatively.
Yeah, I believe it's 50% of the position for the first 6 months out of Measure Q.
Okay. And then 50% out of the second 6 months.
The general fund is, if we're going to continue with that, I believe picking up the full cost of the SRO.
Okay.
At least that's what the budget notes appear to say.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line is it's fully funded by the city. But that's an important point, though, for how we do Measure Q budgeting for the next fiscal year. So hopefully we can find out about that. But does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, I guess. I guess the council is going to be faced with that dilemma again when the budget comes around. But okay, and then further down the page on the contract services for pavement coatings company, $53,439. I guess that's one of the invoices that the auditor found should have been accrued for June.
Correct.
So that needs to come off of this page?
Correct. So that journal entry was done on Friday, obviously after this was produced. When you get your second quarter, that won't be reflected in here as an expenditure, but it will hit that prior cash available to allocate that we discussed in November. It'll reduce that down.
And then as far as the skid steer lease payments, well, a couple of things on that. We talked about staff possibly looking at a buyout of that, and I haven't heard. Did they ever report back?
No, I think you were going to check into it, and then we got so many other finance issues. And it, from what I could see on it, there was no budget to buy it out. So.
I think that was kind of where we ended the conversation, that without an identified funding source, you know, if we don't have a pot of cash to pay for that firm, where would we buy it out?
So maybe when you find out on the SRO, maybe that general fund could be reallocated to buy that out and save some money.
And then along with that, the transaction listing that you gave, I'm still seeing 5 months worth of lease payments in a 3-month period for that. And I know that you mentioned that the first one was for like June 15th to July 15th, and you decided, or the auditors said, you don't need to accrue any of that. And I agree with that. But you still, I'm not sure how you get to 5 payments until you get all the way down to middle of October to middle of November, and I'm not sure why that would be paid in September. So just something to look at. I think you've got one extra payment in there that shouldn't be there somehow.
We do, and we paid October's early, or October to November early.
You paid that in September.
Right, so we just had a conversation with that about not paying in advance.
Oh, okay.
We want to hold on to our money as long as possible.
I've heard you mention that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, those are all the questions I had, but I would recommend that, because of the issues with these things that I've raised, I would recommend that we not take any action on this until the 6 months. And I think it's part of our charter that we only have to review this every 6 months.
That's correct.
So it's nice to see this being presented to us, but we don't really need to take any action on it.
No, it's really just an update, and I think this will help us prepare for the next budget. But the mid-year is going to be, I think, much more important. Any other comments here?
Yes.
Go ahead, John.
I would like to find out what the council actually decides to do with the second half of the SRO officer. Are they actually going to fund it, or are they going to... What they were talking about last time was they were going to take the officer away and have him doing other things, which rather than hiring somebody new.
And that was part of the explanation I heard, too, was that we're budgeted for, I believe it's 17 positions, and the SRO was the 18th because it was partially funded through the schools. As we experienced a turnover in that 17th position that we were budgeted for, it wouldn't be filled, and the SRO would kind of slip into, maybe not doing SRO duties, but the body would slip into that. So I think that's in line, but I'll get more information for the committee and send that out as well.
Yeah, for the 6 month.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. The reality is this committee did vote not to fund that, and regardless, there were some other extenuating circumstances. We support that decision, but we don't want to, number one, forget about it, and number two, I would recommend that somebody from city staff get down to the police or somebody get down to the school and start negotiating that this is not going to happen, you know, if that's what they want to do next year, so they can plan ahead, as opposed to now us setting a precedent and being the bad guys and, you know, cutting the funding. So
I feel that the public would want to know what the, you know, and this goes beyond the scope of what we do, but I would think that the public would want to know why the school district feels that, you know, they can no longer fund whether the position, whether it's just purely a matter of money or whether there was some assessment of the need. And I think our police chief probably could determine from, you know, a discussion with someone at the school district to know, well, why was it felt that a school resource officer position, you know, or funding didn't need to be made, or was it just purely a dollars and cents type of a thing? And we have to give the city council a little bit more information to go on with respect to whether or not that position should be funded through the, you know, through the general fund.
Okay, thanks. So that brings us to, actually, we're still on item B. Oh, no, that would go to B3. Okay, so is there any public? I'll open up public comment real quickly on item B2. Any public comment? Seeing none, close public comment. Okay, so that'll take us to item B3, which is I've asked, we discussed this at our last meeting. We'll do a little brief presentation to council next week. And I've prepared a quick PowerPoint. It's included in your agenda packet. I may go through it very quickly. And if you guys have any questions or comments so that I can update this and get it back to Jennifer. Okay, so first page will be three bullets of the agenda. That'll just be summarize our assessment of Measure Q for that fiscal year, the last fiscal year, 16 to 17. Then we'll report that we have reviewed the first quarter and unaudited transactions, and then we'll report on any other miscellaneous things we've been doing for the year. I expect this presentation would be less than 5 minutes, Jennifer, if you can accommodate that. If I had to, I could do it during public comment. Okay. If not, follow your agenda now. Anyways, while she's doing that, did anybody have any comments or anything? Oh, you're right there. Okay, let me go. All right, so this would be page 2 of the presentation. So I say we met during 2 weeks. Two meetings, October and November, to review and discuss all the fiscal year. And I'm going to insert unaudited transactions in there. That's because this fiscal year isn't audited yet. It's in process. Listing all the members and myself. I think all of you are involved in one or two or both of these meetings. And then here's the summary. Here's the tax revenue for the last fiscal year. And I'm going to indicate the percent that went up from the previous. And then the total expenditures, $1.5 million versus revenues of $1.1 million. I will explain that because there was a large carryover from the previous year, the pavement management. We were only doing that for every other year so that we could, you know, capitalize on those fixed expenses associated with street repair. Then there's the ending fund carryover balance from that year, 2017. Okay, that is zero. And there is a balance available to allocate. It's not 125 because of what Ms. Jennifer said at the beginning of the meeting. It gets reduced down to about 72,000. So I'll just update that. So that's basically, is that clear to everybody, those last, that particularly, go ahead, John, the last second bullet there, the last four sub-bullets?
What Rob has told me about the carryover plans, they had done the larger carryover, get the initial contract award in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now with a contract in place, they really
don't need it.
They don't need to worry about the carryover.
Exactly. But remember, this is a report. That's a good point. Now, I'll mention that because they have that IDIQ contract. Now, this is covering the fiscal year 2015 to 2016. We're reporting, I'm sorry, 2016 to 2017, but the previous year we were doing that every other year. So that's why somebody's going to look at that, presumably, and say, well, wait a minute, you only had $1.18 million in revenue and you spent $1.5 million. Why? Because the previous year you were way underspent so that you could push that those dollars forward. So, John.
Barbara, yeah, the first bullet point, that's more than just tax revenue. That includes grant money. The tax revenue was a little bit less than that, so I don't know if you wanted to say total revenue or change the dollar figure. But
are you talking about the Cal grant that was in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the second bullet point, the total expenditures is going to have to be increased by that retention payment that we had talked about. The reason why the...
Oh, the balance isn't 125?
Balance is,
yeah, I already corrected it on something. I'm ready to send
okay.
it because I saw it today.
And I don't understand what the third bullet point is supposed to convey. Because the ending cash balance actually ended up negative. So what is the zero that we're looking at?
Okay, let's see. We've reported this in the past where there's, let me see if I can explain it, there's really no carryover, unallocated carryover, or allocated carryover. I think that's the difference. Jennifer, can you help? They used to have two lines on there. One was unallocated and one was allocated. But you're right, it might be more confusing. We don't have a carryover balance this year to go forward.
Would it be useful to put the ending cash balance in there?
We could.
I was wondering if it would be useful just to have something about carryover. I mean, I heard you explain it verbally, but just a bullet, just looking at it. A little bit confusing about the lower number than the higher number, but then needing to really listen in to why is this not matching up.
And I think part of the reason is, maybe Jen, you can help me, it's the carryovers, you know, accumulate from previous years and maybe they don't allocate them or use them. So it's not a straight add, subtract, this is left. Or should we even have that carryover? First of all, the third sub-bullet, is that confusing? Should that go? Remember, it's not just, we want to explain it to council, but there will also be citizens that want to understand this.
So, and I think how you verbally explained it when you were talking about the difference between the revenues and expenditures might be a better way than having that bullet point in there, because you're really talking about the same thing, that you expended more than you brought in due to that carry forward from the prior year.
Right, right.
There wasn't any carry forward in this year.
Okay, and then I could actually take the bottom two sub-bullets out and just verbally say, and remember, these are, you know, you don't spend everything by June 30th and there's, you know, accruals and that. So it so happens there's $72,000 left to allocate to the next year, and our recommendation, as we discussed last time, we'll see that on the next page. So, okay, so I'll just eliminate those two bullets and rather than confuse everybody. Important thing is we spent more than we took in because we had a significant carry forward from the previous year. Now we have a little bit left, and we're going to, some years we recommend, you know, be spent on something specific like streets. This year, last time we talked about, throw it back in the general budget and let...
Is there a way, well, first of all, thank you for doing your work on this. Is there a way to just get a simple one-liner in there about what you just explained? Like, yes, there's carryovers, but, you know, I don't know, something in print, because when I see this in print, or if I'm a general person in the public who just looks at the slides and doesn't really listen in.
I can see if I can come up with something that would
super
not be
simple.
As verbose as what I just said.
Or not time-consuming on your part, but just because when I look, you know, if the general public looks at it and doesn't listen,
if they just see
it's
the first
sort of
two,
like, huh, you know, how come it's not matching up?
Yeah. I'll add that, okay, because I want to do it today. So then we typically just go over the main categories. Fire department, those were the expenditures. That's what they were for. Police department, expenditures, that's what it's for. Storm drains, creek maintenance, not much there, but it is a main category. And then obviously the street maintenance is the significant. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory, hopefully. Go ahead.
I don't know that this fits here or the last discussion or wherever, but I'm a little concerned about the perception that an officer is only for the high school when they might be stationed there and they may primarily work with students at that school. They also, my understanding was they also served Del Mar School. But the perception that they're not actually serving the community, because when an officer serves a school and the school is in your community, they're also serving your community, and they're serving the family as well as the students at that school. And so while some of those students don't reside necessarily in Morro Bay, many of them do. I would check on that. Is the SRO only for Morro Bay High, or do they also serve Del Mar? My understanding was that they also serve Del Mar, unless I might be misremembering on this. But just that as we're having conversations about the SRO and that these are public conversations, that this committee is clear that it's not like they only serve, you know, just kids at the high school, and that we have that as a piece of our conversation.
So here's what I can do, because this is just a reporting on what the expenses are. We're not trying to justify it or go into a big explanation, but I think your point isn't well noted. I can remove the high school from there and just say it's the school resource officer. That is a standard term used in communities across the state. And then when I present it, primarily serving Morro Bay High School, and because we got to get this in today if it's going to get on next week's council.
Gotcha.
So, and then if it does serve another elementary, and I think people understand that, you know, it's serving those children, but, you know, it's also serving the community.
I only bring it up because of the discussions that occurred here when we had the vote, and it seemed like the way that vote went was largely based on the perception that the resource officer really served the schools and not the community. That was my perception of how that vote went, and that of how members on this committee perceive that particular position.
Yeah. I don't perceive it that way, because I think the school is located in the community, and that has the spillover effect, just like elementary and just like other public agencies as well. But that's fair. That's a fair. I think I'll just take off the high school if you think it's serving another school.
I think they serve. I don't know.
You
if staff
say
knows.
Primarily stationed at the high school.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they do a lot of work at Del Mar.
That's fair.
Are you guys okay with that? Yeah.
The can I say that the canine food, since we no longer have a canine? My guess is out of the $72,225,
it's very small.
It's probably $225, and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that it's worth a bullet point.
Okay.
Especially if you don't have the dog anymore.
I know, but
yeah, I think it just people are going to get upset if you.
Well, you're
bring
right.
It up.
I stir a negative. I'll take that out. Delete. That's easier to yeah. You're right. But to be honest with you, in previous years when we had it, it was significant because it was like dog kennel babysitting, and there were some people that didn't think that should be because, you know, everybody has different opinions. So we included it in, but this year it's probably a moot point, so I'll delete it. Thanks, Bart. That's a good suggestion. Oh, okay. And then the street maintenance. Okay. All right. Yeah, that one I didn't do yet, so and street maintenance. I'll get your number there and double-check that. Okay. And then we have one more page real quickly. Geez, I thought I could go through this in 5 minutes. I appreciate your comments because anything that avoids or makes it confusing, we don't want to go with. So. Okay, so here we go. The carryover and unallocated cash. Maybe this is too confusing. Or maybe when I put a real small bullet about carryover affects ending balances, and then here's what it is, $72,000. We're recommending it be incorporated into the 2017-18 budget process. And then I'm going to mention that we just approved the unaudited Measure Q transactions for the fiscal year 2016-17. Actually, I'm going to switch those two bullets. The first one is, yes, we've approved all these. As we on the first page, I said we met in October and November. Here I'm going to say we approved all of these. That'll be the first bullet, which shows as the second bullet. Then I'll mention the carryover. And then I'll mention our third recommendation, if you will, is just continue progress on the funding categories identified in the ballot initiative. And that includes everything.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, is that amount $125,993?
No, it's going to go down to $72,000. That's okay. Why I said I've.
And it will be changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I had to submit this for this meeting, yeah. I didn't have that information.
Sure.
Okay, but good point. It's on two different places, that $125,000 number, I believe.
Probably your accounting background. I like rounded numbers better, but if I guess that's. It's your pleasure, whether or not it's
120. I can take them all to thousands. The last committees didn't like that former Measure Q they wanted.
It can go either way. Yeah. Personally, I would round them, but it's not a passion.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any strong feelings on that? Okay. Okay.
If I could just ask a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Was it 17-18? Did you want to have a discussion about the unallocated amount at mid-year, or were you looking to incorporate that into 18-19 budget?
That would be the mid-year. We talked about in November, so we said, hey, we're not going to make a recommendation. Just put it in this year's budget, this current year. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I go on to the next page, and I'm saying we met quickly saying we met today to discuss the first quarter for this fiscal year, and all our questions were answered, and we accepted as presented. So you guys okay with that? That's saying what we did today, Measure Q, looked at. We don't have any recommendations, but we had some questions. Everybody okay with that?
Sure, I'm fine with that. I'm just wondering if on the previous slide, instead of the 2017-18 budget process, it should be noted, incorporated into the budget. I mean, or maybe have a reference to the mid-year review so that it isn't misleading. Well, because, I mean, that process is done, ostensibly.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be incorporated into the
mid-year. Current year, mid-year budget process?
Right,
like
incorporated into remaining budget year expenses, or I'm not really sure, but I think the process part is just misleading. If that were to be left out, it would probably be okay.
Okay. I'm okay with that. That's a good comment, yeah.
Thank you.
Barbara, on our review of the first quarter, I would recommend we just delete that bullet entirely and just not even say anything about it until we review the semi-annual report.
I'm okay with that, too. In fact, that would shorten this up. Yeah, no, that's fine. I can delete that whole page, basically, and then we go on to the summary of our recent activities. I can even say it, but I don't have to add it. I'm okay with that. Might shorten it.
Like get rid of the last slide, basically.
That slide. Get rid of that.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just saying what we did today, but this is only one meeting of a full year, so. All right, and then a summary of our recent activities. Detailed. These are what I think is important, and this is what, Jennifer, we talked about last time, the review of the 15-16 CAFR, and our subcommittee did a detailed report. And I think we would ask that get included, not necessarily in this presentation, but in the council agenda as a receive and file so that there's a record. There's no easy way to summarize a lot of that. It was some very detailed transactions and recommendations for future CAFRs, and I think it was very well received by staff, so we just want to go on record. We spent a lot of time doing this, so we want to go on record saying we did this, presented it, gave it to staff, well received. Maybe 2 years from now, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, something like that. That's where I'm going with that. Okay. And then continue progress. And I can put on public-friendly budget documents and creating videos for citizens. I can change that. I can put in conjunction with staff input or maybe in conjunction with a new software solution, whatever you guys think that we would like to be involved in that.
I am rethinking some of that since the new budget software. And
okay.
I'm wondering if our subcommittee wants to... I mean, we haven't had a chance since the new software was approved. We haven't had a chance to come back as a subcommittee and discuss our recommendations, but I would maybe be a little softer on the language on this, given the new approval of that software. I don't know what the other subcommittee members think or if this is the time to discuss.
I still see a role for the subcommittee in terms of how OpenGov is rolled out to the public and how it's positioned on the website so that it gets used, so that
exactly.
people actually are, mm-hmm. can use it.
And I'd like to see it before we decide if we, you know, want to move forward with the recommendations around the, you know, I'm not so sure the budget-friendly documents are needed, number one, and I'm not sure in what capacity the videos would be needed at this time, given the, you know, given the new software. So that would be...
However, you're right, but there's going to be a rollout implementation period,
absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera.
I'm just saying about yeah. this particular language, slot, yeah. if mm-hmm. we wanted to say something more like...
How about just the first line, continue progress on public friendly
yes.
budget docs.
Yeah.
And then we can always, you know,
and,
speak.
And perhaps the extent to which the vendor might have some tutorials available mm-hmm. that we can avail ourselves
right.
of, that's mm-hmm. you know, might be part of the package.
Exactly. So maybe just that first line. Does that?
Okay. No, that looks good.
How about
me.
Our other subcommittee member, though? Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that. Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's just for the presentation. We'll get to that, and then we'll see what you guys want to do with that.
I just have to say, I don't really. I was out in the desert for 2 weeks with no internet
right.
access. I didn't get a chance to see the city
right,
council
right.
presentation, which is why
okay.
I didn't have any comment on this OpenGov application.
Okay.
But I would like to see it and see what mm-hmm. it does. And I think the, you know, whether this is basically a way to sort numbers or if there's actually some context behind it, because I think what we were trying to do was to provide information and context that people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, the pie chart mm-hmm. pages
but for
that we
this.
Did.
Presentation, is it okay if we just softened that to that we're going to continue progress, but
and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
That's,
but I'm not
that's
sure,
all I
I'm
was
not sure
asking.
The OpenGov would necessarily replace what we're doing until I see what mm-hmm. the OpenGov application actually does.
Yeah. Remember, this slide is just a summary of recent activities. Mm-hmm. It's not just all we've done is Measure Q. We had a committee. They came up with some good ideas. We may or may not be able to implement those. And now that we may have another software system that may supplement that or replace it, we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
So we're just reporting that we're going to continue to do that. We want the budget, the pie charts, and everything we've already done on to stay on the website. In fact, we'd like them updated for the next fiscal year until we have something else to replace it. My view is they're better than nothing, you know, when we've had mm-hmm. pretty good mm-hmm. citizen feedback, but not a lot. So mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. So I'll adjust that. And then I was just going to mention we initiated some subcommittee work on preparation of a budget calendar, you know, just in progress, mm-hmm. work in progress.
And I would just to piggyback on what Walter said, I don't know if that software offers, does OpenGov offer a calendar portion to it?
A budget calendar, is that what you're...
Yeah, sort of like a...
I don't believe they do. I don't recall
okay.
seeing that.
Okay.
So we'll put that on a future agenda once you're a little more comfortable and staff has tested it and that, and then we would come back with some recommendations, I mm-hmm. think. As Dave said, until you see what it does, it's, you know.
There are charts and graphs integrated with the data, mm-hmm. Dave, and that it was impressive. You know.
I thought, yeah. So we would want all of our committee to see that when it's ready to show. And then that's it, pretty much. Questions, Q&A, whatever, if there is any.
And this is the meeting we're all coming to?
This is the city council meeting next Tuesday, January 23rd, and wherever we are on the agenda, all of us, I was going to present it, and but typically, you know, all the members are invited, and you're welcome to come, and I hope you do, and I hope we know when we're going to be on, so you don't have to make a, you know.
So, Barbara, did you say that you wanted to have an item on the agenda to receive and file that CAFRA report?
Yes, as part of this, because that's the first bullet.
So that would be an actual action item for the council?
Yes, a receive and file. I mean,
okay.
Would that be, so where would that be included? One of the A items, or would that be included? We talked about we were going to get it to council.
So I will put a cover memo on your presentation, and as part of that, we'll have the recommendation to accept your presentation, and then we'll have a second one for the CFAC and attach your CAFR. I'll have a recommendation to receive the CAFR letter that you wrote with your recommendations. I think that would be the cleanest. So it'll be one item with both.
Mm-hmm. But both will be included. Okay, perfect. I think that would be very good. All right. Okay, any public comment on item B3? If we haven't bored everybody to death, we'll try to clean this up and do it a little more smoothly next week. Thank you. Close public comment. And then that takes us to item B4. Thank you, Jennifer, for that report. That's on the budget calendar dates and some background. Jennifer, any comments on that? I think your report was very comprehensive. Thank you.
I'll only add that this really kind of goes in conjunction with item B5. These were the dates that were presented to the council on January 9th, and they were approved. The specific dates for CFAC, February 20th, would be the mid-year budget presentation, and that would be just ahead of the council meeting, which is scheduled for February 27th for the 10-year forecast update and the mid-year presentation as well. In March at the CFAC meeting, we plan to do a budget update. We are hoping to incorporate some new elements into the budget this year, some more narratives on what the departments and programs are doing and what's being funded, as well as goals and accomplishments. We're already starting down that process, so we should be able to give some update on that in March. And then we're proposing that we move the April meeting to April 25th, at which point you could have a pretty comprehensive budget in front of you, as we hope to distribute at the end of that week to the council the draft budget. So we could keep the regularly scheduled April meeting, but if we push it back a week, you would have a more complete document to review and provide feedback on that we could incorporate prior to distribution. So, and then when we get to item B5, I think the dates and the calendar could be easily incorporated into a format. There was a lot of great budget calendar formats there that are pretty user-friendly for the public and clarifying the budget process. So I think these two kind of go hand in hand.
So I know we had a subcommittee that met on the calendar, and thank you for that information. There was a lot of detailed samples of some other cities. So I believe what's done here, and it's already been approved, so these are the dates, but I think you guys were thinking of something a little more, perhaps. I'm not sure. And you could still obviously still work on that, but at least we have dates in concrete of what's going on. So that's a start. That's the way I look at it. Walter, any comments? Don, Dave?
The idea we had behind doing a budget calendar was a
public budget calendar, or a budget calendar that's tailored towards the public, like some of the examples that I provided. So it provides dates, but also there was some explanation of the budget process. And actually, there was one from, I believe it was the city of Hillsborough, actually explained what the purpose of the budget is, mm-hmm. which I thought is useful. Mm-hmm. So that was what we had in mind to try to tackle something like that.
And maybe without specific dates, but sort of like, this happens in this month every year, like not something you'd have to recreate every year. Mm-hmm. It's like this generally happens in this time of year, and here's the purpose. So that people get a sense of, you know, what's upcoming, where are we in this, you know, sort of rolling process of budget creation and implementation.
Well, the other thing would be if there are firm dates on the public hearings, the budget hearings, then that's certainly something that we ought to provide, so that, and encourage the public to get involved in the process and attend those meetings. or if nothing else, send emails or letters to the city council members. Would be another way for them to get involved. But I think we, if we know the dates for those meetings, I think we should encourage people to attend and provide input.
I very much support your the idea of adding more narrative to the mid-year budget review, and particularly tying it into the goals and objective setting process. We're fairly new to this whole idea of an annual goals and objective setting. I think this might be the third go-round, and many members of the public really don't yet understand that that's the way that things get done. So if there's, they need to come forward and articulate their needs during that period to have things considered and then determined to be fundable or not. And so the idea that, in that presentation, the numbers would be tied into that process, which objective was being met by this expenditure, that kind of thing, I think would start to drive home the idea that this is the process, folks. It isn't like you just come into City Hall and say, hey, I need my street repaired or whatever. It's one of these things that, or maybe, a better example would be like, stormwater management, that, I might come forward and say, if you can do a lot of green infrastructure that will retain stormwater so that it isn't going into the drains and contributing into the flows, but that's a project. And so that has to be articulated as a goal and an objective in the annual process that we undertake. And I think that not enough members of the public really understand that that's how things are getting done now.
Excellent point.
I like that. Oh, sorry, you go.
No, go ahead.
Just same thing. Excellent point. I think it would be very helpful.
So just for everybody, it's in the staff report, but the goals discussion is set for council, I think, on February 27th. And it's important to distinguish, my boss sitting next to me might kick me if I say this incorrectly, but whatever the percentage is, 80% of staff's time is doing the everyday work that we need to do to accomplish getting payroll out, getting our AP runs out, doing the general regular maintenance that's kind of built into, the base budget. So the goals is really, what did we spend that other 20% of our time on, and what do we prioritize? So when we talk about adding narratives, there's the part that this is what we do, this is our everyday work, and then there's, in addition, these are the objectives and the goals that are that 20% that we are funding in these budgets. So that's part of that discussion when we talk about goals, is what do we have capacity to absorb in that 80% or that 20%.
Sure. Yeah, and with the understanding too that it's, it's a review, so it's retrospective. We're not talking about the, the upcoming 2018-2019. We're talking about what was done last year during that process.
Well, the February 27th discussion is setting goals for 18-19.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a goals retreat on February 2nd, right, which will be a lot of discussion about that as well. And that if anybody on the committee has any input on the goal number one, which is achieve economic and fiscal sustainability, I would recommend that you send emails to Jennifer to submit your comments on that before February 2nd.
Good point. Okay, so so I guess to summarize, I would say that the subcommittee that was working on the budget calendar can continue to do that, and after you see this calendar that comes out, maybe you try to map it as to into a template as to what additional information would be helpful, if you have recommendations. And the other item on this is about the future dates at the end there. So you were talking about then we'll have our regular meeting on February 20th and March 20th. But then you were talking about extending the or postponing the April meeting 1 week. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's the recommendation in order to get a better picture of the budget.
Okay. Were those on Tuesdays or Wednesdays?
Unless I read my calendar.
The ones in April. Did you mean it to be Tuesday?
I think the 25th is a, if you hold one second, is a Wednesday, and that's because there's council on the 24th.
Oh, okay. So the 17th was Tuesday, the regularly, and then you were going to bump it up 8 days to Wednesday. That's fine. Yeah.
February 20th, March 20th, and then
April 25th.
April 25th, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's pretty far out there, but I just want to make sure everybody noted that. The other meetings are as scheduled, February, March. All right, so this is a receive and file, this particular report. Is there any further questions, discussion?
I've got two comments relative to the budget, which is not scheduled, and it's not how to do it. Should I wait till the end of the meeting? Or it has to do with the budget.
Yeah, just wait. Let's get through this. Yeah. Okay. I think. All right. So that takes us. Any public comment on that item? Seeing none, close public comment. Any questions on that resolution? I think the resolution is pretty clear. Okay. Let's see. So that brings us. Subcommittee updates, B5. So I think we kind of discussed that when we were discussing the Measure Q, but are there any more subcommittee updates? We don't have anything on audit or CAFR. And do you have anything further, Don, Dave? Walter?
I think we're B4 was our subcommittee report.
Oh, okay.
Item B4.
Sorry.
And one of the objectives was to get some direction from the rest of the committee and staff on the ideas that we were putting forward here on areas that we could work on, which was production of one or more webcast videos to provide information to the public about the budget. We talked about producing a public budget calendar, and it sounds like there's agreement that we would go forward with working on that, at least to come up with a draft of some kind for everybody to look at. And then there were also some recommendations about making the budget documents easier to access on the website. And I noted that it looks like there's a link to the current fiscal year budget document that was put on the banner on the city's main website, the banner on the right, on the left-hand side of the page, so that you can actually access the full budget document just by clicking on that. The way it's set up now, you have to go through a series of pages to be able to find the actual budget documents. That was the point I was making in the report.
In the previous, right.
Previously.
Right.
So it looks like that one, there is a link to the budget. I also thought it would be useful to have a link to that part of the budget that has the pie charts in it, the budget summary.
Oh, okay.
As a separate document, because it is listed as a separate document on the budget documents on the finance webpage. Mm-hmm. So if there could be a link
to the budget summary.
To the budget summary
that
would be that could be accessed from the main city webpage. I think that would be useful. Maybe put it below the link for the entire budget document.
Yeah, I think we previously had it in the hot topics, and then as that filtered down, that's where it's maybe getting lost, and we would like that link there.
Okay.
No. Is that okay? Is that too much work?
No, it's not too much work. I just have to remember how to do it.
Great. I'm sure you will. Okay, so that was one of your recommendations, right?
Right. And then the other was the public budget calendar. It sounds like we've got agreement that we're going to move forward on putting together something on that.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay
with that?
Yeah. Is that us? Are we waiting on something from staff and then we're going to work on it more? Or we're coming up with something and then handing it over. I got a little lost in that.
That's good. Okay, that's a good question. Are you doing any more on that public other than what went to council? Is there something we should anticipate looking at and reviewing, or if not, we'll take the dates we have and start to try to put something together?
From a staff perspective, we weren't doing anything in addition to that.
Okay. So what we have, then we will look at on our subcommittee and move forward on. Okay.
And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to work on that and try to come up with a draft document.
There, so it's not like you're grabbing at straws. So you have some dates and you start and then we'll discuss it again and the other we can all comment or staff will say, hey, this is not doable or it's easy to do or give us their input. Would that be acceptable?
And it'll be based on the examples that I provided. What we'll come up with. Three of us will come up with.
And perhaps, just so I don't forget, perhaps this is aligned with goal number one of fiscal, right? I mean, perhaps we're real clear since aligning things to the goals was mentioned
fiscal
at this meeting.
Fiscal sustainability.
Right? That creating a calendar perhaps is aligned to one of the goals.
It should be indirectly.
One of those goals.
And then the other item was production of webcast related to the budget.
Yeah. And Jennifer said they were going to do some training videos internally, so maybe wait and see what the results of that are. Don, you said you wanted to rethink it. I think the calendar might be a higher priority. Not saying we won't do it, but let's see what they come up with. Let's see what OpenGov. Yours might be more internal employee training, but...
Yeah, the things that we were going to do internally were to send out to our employees to kind of help them set up some of their, payroll stuff.
Okay.
I think the example you saw sent out, Don, we used PowerPoint to put off that WRF report, and it is very easy to do. We didn't narrate it because I didn't have a microphone that was working, but presumably that's just as easy. You just kind of go through it and talk it through from a cost perspective and a time perspective. I'm not sure once the script is written out that it really would be all that challenging.
And we can get a pair of headphones with microphone. Someone might have ones laying around, right, that you can just plug in. You don't need a microphone like this. You can just get headphones with a microphone. But I like Walter's idea of seeing if OpenGov maybe offers tutorial videos to the public to help them understand rather than I don't want to recreate the wheel if there's something that exists in OpenGov.
Perfect. Again, we're not going to get everything done at once, but we'll prioritize. We'll keep these on our, agenda and to-do list and proceed from there. So thank you. That's good. Okay. So thanks for that report, Dave. All right. Any public comment? Item B5, subcommittee reports. Seeing none, close public comment. Thank you. Future agenda items. That's B6. So, Jennifer, we already talked about getting the mid-year budget review in the February... Is it February 20th meeting? I guess I need to... Okay, thanks. Oh, that's right. It was the same date in March because there's 28 days. I forgot about that. Thank you. All right, so we'll definitely have the mid-year budget review on our next meeting agenda. Does anybody else have any suggestions or items?
Good question. And I probably should have asked this earlier under another item, but... Jen, do you think, as late as the auditor's work is that's going on, do you think that the committee is going to have an opportunity to look at a draft CAFR before it goes to the city, or is that not going to happen this year?
That's a good question. I meant to ask that earlier during the update from finance. If we are able to get draft financials and get a CAFR put together, there's already a subcommittee. I could, reach out to the subcommittee and see if you're available to review prior to issuing it. I will reiterate, I don't have a great deal of confidence given that it's January 16th. But should we be able to pull that together, I can try to reach out to you in advance, that the subcommittee members, and have you review it prior to issuing, submitting it.
John, what's your availability for that? Are you going to be around?
What's our date are we talking about?
It would...
I'll be in town most of the time.
Okay. It's due January 31st, so in order to give you enough time to, you know, reach through it, it would have to be a fairly quick turnaround. But I'm, you know, if we don't have anything by the end of next week, we're not going to get it in realistically. So that would be the 25th or 26th.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, availability here. Okay. Well, we can only do what we can do. We'll certainly try. Thank you.
I have. If it's not, if it doesn't take a lot of time, I'd love to see a like just a little demo of OpenGov for the public, mm-hmm. of highlights, just to make it that much more friendly for the public. It doesn't necessarily have to be next meeting, mm-hmm. but just at a time that you could fit it in after you've had some time with it of, you know, what are some of the big things that the public might want to see.
That definitely would be our request, that, you know, when it's convenient to do that. The other thing I wanted to mention is Jennifer was kind enough to get us our Christmas gifts, the booklet we've been asking for, the Interpreting Local Government Financial Statements, How to Avoid 25 Common Mistakes. So it's, I don't know if you guys have read it all or any of it, but I've started going through it, and I think it's very informative, and it's pretty easy to understand. I think it's very important, and I'm trying to figure out how we can do this besides all of us just reading it. So, you know, I'll throw some thoughts out there, like perhaps, you know, each meeting at the end we would discuss maybe five of these, and, you know, we have a, you know, a very knowledgeable person up here, Mr. Martin, that might help us with some of this. But I want all of us to be able, you know, to benefit from this and hear maybe a few other questions. Or perhaps maybe we just do a workshop on our own, or not on our own, but noticed, and invite anybody that's interested in it, and we'll kind of go through this as a discussion.
A CFAC book club. I see a CFAC book club here.
Yeah, CFAC book club.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, at least it's a skinny book, and it's
right.
Big font print, and it's it's not like some of the legalese I see, at least in other documents. But what
I
do
would
you guys
support,
think?
How can we, yeah.
You know, we're all at varying levels of experience, and you know, when we get materials like this, and furthermore, I intend to pass these on to some council members, but maybe if we just had our own meetings or workshops, maybe anybody else that's interested could benefit. You know, some of them are literally one page. Here's the common misperception. Here's the explanation. Here's what you should be aware of, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like accounting for non-accountants or accounting for dummies, whatever you want to call it.
This will probably develop over time, you know, what we want to do with it after we've had a chance to read through it and perhaps discuss. But I would offer the idea of thinking a little bit outside the box and not asking people to come here to the Vets Hall for any workshop that we do. There are book discussion groups in the library, and I'm mm-hmm. sure that we could be scheduled there to do our workshop discussion at the library, where people are already there, they're accustomed mm-hmm. to coming for their book discussion groups that they do. If we can get on the calendar later in the year to do that, we could go to where the audience is and have this, you know, and people will come if they want to know more about it, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they would.
And we don't have to do the whole book. We could do, like, maybe just 10, the first 10 or the first 8, and see how. Go ahead. Comments?
My only comment would be, regardless of location, we'll need to notice it if it's the entire committee getting together. So it can we can certainly reach out to the library, but it would need to be a noticed public meeting.
Yeah.
I wonder though, for this committee, if we all just took one section and gave a review of it. I mean, that would get us through 7, right? And if I had to say mine was 3 and I had questions, that's what I would bring. It's like, I read 3 and here's what it said, and I don't, you know what I mean?
Can I suggest that
go ahead.
Everybody skim the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Microphone, please, John.
What I would say is let's have everybody at least read the whole thing, but mm-hmm. but do a detailed review mm-hmm. of just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at, we all read it because they are simple, straightforward, and some of us have a lot more experience than others. So there are certain sections here I wouldn't feel comfortable conveying, and I could summarize what I read, but you guys can read that just as easily. So I would bring it, hey, we're going to discuss these first five, and we'll start with number one. Do we have any discussion? And, you know, I know John... Martin is very experienced. You'd be willing to help us on this, right?
Sure. Well, I think these things are best understood within the context of the annual financial report. Mm-hmm. So what I would request is that when you do get the report from the auditors, that you request enough bound documents to actually distribute to everybody. I think last year I was told there was two bound documents that were provided by the auditors, and usually auditors will provide as many as you want. So I think if everybody on this committee, everybody on the city council have got an actual bound annual financial report, that would be helpful. And then you could read this book while reviewing or reading through that document. It would really help you a lot. Mm-hmm.
So then you would say he's right, like, okay, we're right discussing number four, significance of a net pension liability or a net OPEB liability. I refer you to section this, that, notice what the city's is, this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Is that a reasonable request to make those extra copies? I mean, do these guys charge, you know, $300 an hour to print?
I don't know what their rate is. Yeah. I'm used to ordering enough for at least the council, but I'll look into that.
And or maybe we do it electronically. We've got our computers. We can bring it.
Or we can print them in-house. We'll have an electronic version or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if they charge us or not. I'll have to ask.
Well, they're going to charge a lot regardless, so.
Yeah, so that's always the question. Is it buried in there, or is it a discrete additional line item charge, in which case send it to us electronically, and maybe we can figure that out if we can. But, okay, so that's really all I had. I just wanted you guys to think about it. And Bart, go ahead.
Again, I'm not sure where this fits in. First, Don, thank you very much for sending the example along. It helped me to appreciate what you're talking about. I'm still not sure that it's a net super easy thing. You still have to have a script and PowerPoint slides that are legible. When you see these, you can't have, you know, a whole bunch of detail. But I now appreciate why it can be a lot less than what I was sort of thinking. That my two budget comments are, one, possibly this new program that you're alluding to might solve it. But it would be very nice to see a budget without the allocations. The way it was presented last year, it gets very confusing. An example that you can use to see if you're there is whether or not we can figure out what our legal fees are for the city. I think it's around $500,000, but you can't even come close to finding that with the way the documents are presented. Now, I realize that the way the budget's been assembled is literally following what's been done probably the last 15 years. So everybody just says, okay, what did we do last year? And you end up with a stack of paper about yay thick, and it's really just saying last year must be right, so let's use last year and update it or something like that. So I would love to see a budget with unallocated costs. I do understand and appreciate you have to also allocate them to the various funds and all that sort of thing, but it makes it very difficult to follow what's happening when you've got this page that have transfers in, transfers out, and it's difficult to put the budget documents together that Dave was doing. The other issue that I'd like to address is this, it was called GAAP last year. There's a $2.5 million, or it must be, I don't know, with the CalPERS thing, that was $3 million or something like that now. So again, there was a budget document about yay thick, and there was one page that said, well, we've got a budget gap of $2.5 million, and here's one page of bulleted items that possibly we could address. And the city manager last year put no thought into, well, can we really do this, or what would we need to do? In fact, I recall one of the council people even commenting that they were sort of expecting that staff would have thought about, well, what could be done to close this gap or make the gap go away, but we can't just keep talking about a gap without, in my opinion, or you just say, no, there's no gap, we just aren't doing a lot of things. But put the gap into some sort of context for, are we serious about it? What could be done? And there's some tough decisions. And since I'm not running for city council, I can say things like getting rid of the fire department and the police department, because that has been offered up. It obviously fills fills the auditorium if you even suggest something like that. But what are some options, realistic options, that you put some time into of what could be cut to address the gap, rather than, again, a document yay thick for detail after detail of salaries and everything else, and then one page that says we've got this gap, and then they have the qualifier that says, oh, but by the way, we've got a balanced budget. And it's confusing. Is our budget balanced, or do we have a gap? And I know we have to say we have a balanced budget, because you can't stay in business if you don't. So anyway, those are the two items. One, to, if you can, have a view of unallocated costs, and secondly, to have a more robust discussion, which is a tough one. I mean, that's why you get the big bucks. How do you address, and what can be done relative to this gap? Thank you.
So Bart, let's be clear. I think when they were referring to gap, maybe your staff can correct, they were referring to almost what we have in the budget, approved budget funding for, and then the wish list of the citizens or some other. And the gap was, that's why you have a balanced budget, but the gap is because there's some other additional needs that we are not budgeting. Is that what you're referring to? Because I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. So it's not really a budget shortfall. We have a balanced budget.
I understand we have to say we're balanced budget.
No, we don't.
But
we have to say what
it was called. The term that was used in the past is gap. And I guess that's, yeah. I don't know, it might be a better term. I'm not arguing with the semantics of the issue. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is, if you will, it became a wish list. So if that's a better term to use, it's just the issue of, if you're gonna offer up this issue, something more than just, oh, by the way, City Council, here, deal with it. I mean, I think they'd like to have you deal with it a little bit.
Good point. It's number one goal for me as a city manager, and thankfully I have an excellent finance director and a great supporting cast with the CFAC and council and staff who are committed to finding a way to solve that gap. Whether it's $400,000 or the wish list $3 million, it's still a big number, and it's going to require a lot of thought and strategy about how we achieve that, presenting options, which include cross-the-board cuts or pushing it down to the next generation, or dealing with the structural issue through revenue enhancements and cuts. So that's going to be a focus of our retreat discussion, but also moving forward into the budget this year. We intend to bring real solutions to that, but they're going to be challenges. They're going to be hard choices. So I appreciate that sentiment, and definitely we'll offer more than a few bullet points this year.
Thanks, Scott, for that. And that relates to the suggestion from John on the goal one, fiscal sustainability. So if you have any of us have some specific suggestions, we'll send them to Jennifer and Scott so that you'll have them for the retreat, you know, thoughts, like you say. Okay. Anything else for next agenda item? I think if you think of anything, let us know, and we'll get that by the February 20th meeting. So right now we just have the mid-year budget review, but that could be significant. So, as well as, I'm sure you'll have updates on goals, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All right. Any closing comments, members? All right. Thank you all for your support and everything, and we'll adjourn the meeting 5:15. Thank you, staff, Monique and Jen and Scott.